God. In chapter 28, verse 1, it is very obvious and clear that a choice was made by God himself about Aaron and the ministry as a high priest among God's people. We read that in Exodus, in Psalm 105. And then we come to the New Testament. Christ was the chosen one of God. When we read about Aaron was chosen, our mind should really click and say, okay, now the Lord Jesus Christ was the real chosen one of God. We read that in at least two passages in Luke and as well as in 1 Peter. He is the chosen one as a priest unto God. And as we continue to read about Aaron, Aaron was holy, not in the holiness as of God, but he was required to be holy because he is representing between people and God and offering worship unto God. So he had to be holy. It was not a choice. But thinking about holiness of any person, there is none holier than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So when Aaron was required to be holy in his life so he can perform sacrifices and offerings and then do what God asked him to do. And here we read throughout the New Testament, we can see that people were trying to find fault in our Lord Jesus Christ. They tried left, right, top to bottom, front and back, but they could not find any fault in him. So he was perfect, holy man as a man in the New Testament. Christ was far more holier than Aaron himself. There are a number of references. If you're interested with the study, I can always forward these notes to you. Maybe you can look through as your time permits. Aaron was allowed to offer sacrifices that we read in Exodus 30 and 10. There were virtually thousands, perhaps millions of people among Israel, but only Aaron and his descendants were allowed to perform a sacrifice on behalf of the people. When we come to the New Testament, Christ himself offered one sacrifice for all sinners, and that one offering was sufficient. Aaron had to do this repeatedly throughout the year, sometimes multiple times, and it was continually done by him because those sacrifices were not a permanent sacrifice. It only temporarily was hiding the sins of the people. It was not a permanent solution. But when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he offered one sacrifice and once for all sinners, we referred to some of those things this morning in our thoughts and prayers, and that one offering was sacrifice, was sufficient. Can you imagine last 2000 years, if that is not the case, you and I will be walking here with a goat or a cow or a bird in your hand for worship? Although I may be talking this jokingly, but that is the reality. If the sacrifice of our Lord is not fully sufficient before God to worship God, we will be doing that. But this morning, we have the freedom to enter into the holiest of holies and worship the Lord without any hindrances in our life. Is it on? Oh, okay. It's a little bit slower, like me. So the next one, as we continue, high priest was a man in those days. God could have sent an angel and could have done a sacrifice or some solution for sin if God wanted to. But just as the high priest was a man, so he could feel the sympathy of sinful men. The reason for him to be a man is that he should feel the sin and the problems of man that we read in Hebrews 5:2. He can have compassion. brothers and sisters, our Lord, he is seated on the right hand of God as a high priest. He feels for you. Our brother reminded us many things that the Lord is doing for us. He knows your problems. He can show compassion. No other person can, because he was born as a man and who lived here on earth and also did the sacrifice for us. The Lord Jesus was a complete man. Aaron was a man. To some extent he was holy, but he was never perfect man. But our Lord was a complete man, and he knows how we feel every day, moment of our life. Don't feel like, let me re-emphasize what our brother said. Don't feel like that Lord doesn't feel what you're going through. He is our high priest who knows, because he was a man, a perfect man. And then we also read about him in 2 Corinthians 13:4 that he is and he was the Son of God, yet he was crucified in weakness. Somebody remembered this morning in the reading that Christ crying unto God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was crucified in weakness, but yet he was the Son of God. Now about Aaron again, the priest went outside the camp to meet lepers, sinners who could not come into the camp of Israel, or those who come even close to the temple of any other people. The priest went outside the camp. We sing that song in the worship time about the one that who went outside the camp. So that is so literally true in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus died for our sins outside the gate of the city of Jerusalem. How many of you have been to Jerusalem? Quite a few of you. If you remember the place where the Lord was crucified, it was not inside Jerusalem. It was outside Jerusalem, outside the city of Jerusalem. That is where the Lord was crucified. We sing that song. We go to the Lord outside the camp as he did. And Aaron was supposed to meet lepers who cannot come into the camp, to go outside the camp and meet with them and offering sacrifices for them. So that is another thing that we read when we think about Aaron. And the next one in Leviticus 16:2 as well as 14 and 17, Aaron was the only one who could enter the most holy place. You know the place was divided into three compartments. Only one person, after offering sins for sacrifices for his own sin and the people, and he can enter into the holiest of holies once in a year, and he has the privilege to enter there. But the Lord Jesus has entered heaven itself, we read in Hebrews 9:11, after offering sacrifice once for all, and therefore in him we are given the privilege to enter into the holiest of holies. Have you thought about that we can enter into the holiest of holies? What do you think? Yes or no? Why doubt? Yes, we can enter into the holiest of holies. You may say, oh, wait a minute. I sinned last week. How do I go? All our sins, all means all, A-L-L. Last time I checked the dictionary, all means all. All our sins are forgiven, cleansed, forgotten forever. Sins of the past, sins of today, perhaps sins that you may do in the future, everything is forgotten. That doesn't mean that we should continue doing it. That is not a license to do it. But if you do, our sins are totally forgiven by the high priest. So therefore, it gives us the joy and the privilege that we can enter into the holiest of holies at any time, without knocking, without taking appointment. You don't have to make an early phone call and say, can I come in? If I have to visit some of you, I have to call you, because take an appointment. But you don't need an appointment. So That is one of the things that we read about Aaron. Okay, now going on to the manna. We probably know this already. The manna came down from the sky as rain does, almost like it was raining down. Psalm 78:24. So it is called the bread of heaven. It is manna is referred to as the bread of heaven. When you read through that passage, immediately our mind should go to the Lord Jesus Christ in John 6:33 and 35. The Lord called himself the bread of God, the bread of life, the bread from heaven. He is the true manna in our life. Those words have real applications in our life. Bread of God, bread of life, gives you life. Bread from heaven that we enjoy on a daily basis in our walk with him. So the manna really also brings our mind to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we also know about the rock that Moses broke for water. God told Moses to strike a certain rock, not any rock in the wilderness, a particular rock with his rod, and water is supposed to come out in Exodus 17, verse 5 and 6. It is a designated rock, and he was supposed to hit that rock only once. Christ died for our sins. God struck him. We very often remember that in our worship time. God struck him in 1 Corinthians. Can you click that link for me? I want to look at that verse. 1 Corinthians 10:4. The rock is a picture of Christ. If you can't get to it, that's fine. We read that in 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. Christ died for our sins. God struck him. Isaiah 53:4. There it is. The verse that we are referring to, 1 Corinthians 10:4. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Paul made it very clear. Although it was a symbol and that happened to the people of God in Israel, that rock where the life-giving water that was flowing out of it was our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, and there it clearly says it was to be hit one time only. What did Moses do? I think twice at least, maybe more. God was angry with him simply because of that one violation that God asked Moses to do. Do you know what happened? Anybody? He was not allowed to go into the promised land. Be careful, you won't lose your salvation, but every violation and sin that you have, you are losing the blessings of promised land. Let me repeat that. You will not lose salvation, but every violation of God's commandment and sin in your life, you will miss and lose the blessings of eternity in some level. So we read that the rock was a real picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to, I'm going a little fast here. Now we come to the tabernacle. God told Moses to build a tabernacle for him in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. These are verses that really need a lot more time to be explained in our practical application. But this is only a class, so I won't go into details on that. The tabernacle is also a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ because it was the place where God dwelt and showed his glory. Christ showed his glory as the only Son of God, John 1:14. John says, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming and other times he was with him, He says, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. John is saying that we saw with our eyes the glory of the only begotten Son when they saw him. So remember, the sanctuary was a place where God was dwelling. When the people came close to it or even entered into the first level of it, they came with fear and trembling because that is where God dwelt. We also know that the Lord is building a temple today, a body of Christ, universal church. Every believer, he is building a temple for himself. It pains my heart sometime. And then, of course, there is a local church like this one here. It pains my heart when people of God forgets that this temple of God is God's and it's a God's dwelling place. Paul really warns Timothy, not an ordinary believer, saying, you ought to know how to conduct yourself in the church of God. People forget how to behave in the church of God, not realizing it belongs to him. It really, people don't think it very seriously or perhaps not even taught, to be careful. It is a warning for all of us that we belong to the sanctuary of God, the temple of God. You and I are just part of it. It belongs to him and him alone, and we ought to know how to conduct ourselves or how to behave within the church. You can probably think of many instances around the globe that where you have been or you heard the problems and the fighting and backbiting and gossiping within the body of Christ. Be very careful. You probably think, oh yeah, so and so can do it, so I can do it. Why? You don't have to be in the statistics. Please be careful. The silver. When we read about the silver in the tabernacle, Moses used silver for making bases, hooks and rods. Exodus 26 and 19 and 27, 10 and 17. This silver makes us think of our Savior and the price he paid to set us free. Why not gold? Gold is representing most of the time heaven and its value. But the price that was paid for our sake is the silver reminds of us when we read. There was a study that maybe 20 years ago that we did here at the chapel about the tabernacle. Every nail, every hook, every rod in the tabernacle has direct representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we could do that sometime again, a study on the tabernacle. And then we moving on to the book of Leviticus. If I continue to go in detail, we will not finish our study for months. God also provided sacrifices to his people could come near to him. And these sacrifices speak of our Lord Jesus Christ. There were 5 main offerings. 3 of them were called sweet-smelling sacrifices, and like Noah's offering when he came out of the ark. And others were different types of them. Mainly, there is a burnt offering and a grain or a cereal offering. And then there is a peace or fellowship offering. And there are many others also, but these are the primary major 3 of them. In that, I just want to pick up one word from there. It says, it is a sweet-smelling sacrifice when they offer this. The Spirit of God purposely used these words, the word sweet-smelling, to describe the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ as we read it in Ephesians 5:2. This is what we read in Ephesians 5:2. It's there on the screen. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. What the Lord did there on the cross for you and for me, it was a sweet-smelling aroma unto God that is satisfied the heart of God forever, so it never was repeated again. So these sacrifices, when we read through the Leviticus, we read that it is called a sweet-smelling sacrifice or an aroma. So that remains of our Savior who offered himself as a sweet smelling aroma or sacrifice unto his father. Now moving on, the sacrifices in the Leviticus speak of the Lord Jesus. Every animal, when they bring the sacrifices, every animal must be perfect. Leviticus 1:3 and 10 says, a burnt offering, a male without blemish. You will see that repeated in almost every sacrifice, not almost, every sacrifice. It has to be, whatever the animal that you bring, without any blemish. Let me take a little side step here for 30 seconds here. What you bring to the Lord, whether it is in worship, your service, you are giving the all of your life, if it is not without blemish, you can do all what you want. It will not be acceptable. Very serious. Your service, your giving, your life, your worship, it has to be without blemish if the Lord has to accept it. Don't be sometime, or I have done, sometimes look around and I have 10 goats, I look around and say, I'm going to kill him anyway, let me pick up the one that is limping or not that useful. We give the last to the Lord, don't we, sometime. I want to leave that challenge to you. It has to be perfect, without blemish. The peace offering in chapter 3:16 also says a male or female, in that particular case, they had a choice. It has to be without blemish. And in chapter 3, verse 23 and 28, priest who sinned, they should bring an offering, a young bull, what? Without? Come on, speak, this is a class. Without blemish. Without blemish. They had choices of animals. It can be a bull, it can be a goat, it can be a male or a female, depending on what the offering is. What they did not have a choice is, it has to be without blemish. And when we come to the trespass offering, a lamb now, another animal, again without blemish. And they bring the bread offering, which is chapter 23, verse 18. They can, along with the bread offering, they also have to bring 7 lambs. Let's take 6 of them without blemish, and one can be, it's okay, Lord, not, he's not going to notice. No. 7 of them without blemish. Very serious thing when we do deal with the things of God. It has to be without blemish. And number 6 reads, a sin offering, 1 lamb in its first year. There is meaning to that. Why it is only 1 lamb? Why is only the first year? You can probably understand what I am referring to. 1 lamb, it is first year. Again, without blemish. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we play a game with the Lord, don't we? It's the Lord's work, it's okay. I mean, that you may not say it, but that's maybe the attitude behind the heart. So, want it to be very careful. I'm speaking to myself first when I was studying this. The burnt offering was burnt completely on the altar, a picture of the son who gave totally to God. It was not partially burned and just finish it off. No, it was totally 100% burned, which points to the Son of God who gave totally to God. The grain offering also speaks of purity, because the people ground the grain until it became a fine flour. This speaks of Christ's suffering as a man. Imagine the grain. They brought the grain. In those days, it's probably a huge stone or something. They grind it to the flour and used to make the bread. And the sufferings of that reminds of the sufferings of Christ. In the peace or the fellowship offering, all these are in the book of Leviticus, the priest burned some of the animal on the altar as for God, but ate the rest with the man who brought the sacrifice and with his family. So that was an option given to them. Burn some of them, the others you can, the priest and the person who brought it can eat. So this offering speaks of the joy which God has in Christ, which we also share. God enjoys it, but he also shares that joy of worship, joy of serving. That joy is shared with us when that part of it was given to people to share. There are a number of references on that, and my time is faster, going faster than I want. The sin offering was also a picture of the sacrifice of our Lord. In Leviticus 4:3, the Lord Jesus himself surely took the penalty for our sins. We know this very well. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, now talking to about our Lord, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. We often refer to this, so I'm going to move on to that. There were special offerings on the Day of Atonement. They had different offerings and special ones. On the 10th day of the 7th month, every year, God covered the sins of the people because the animals offered were pictures of his son. Leviticus 16, several references. What is the peculiarity of those sacrifices? Come on. Yeah? Without blemish. It has to be without blemish. Please examine what you do for the Lord. Is it pure and 100% and without blemish? Only you can do. I cannot judge you. You can judge yourself. We should not judge others. We should judge ourselves. Now the bronze snake. I'm going to take a minute or two extra. I like that clock. The bronze snake. The Lord made provision for the needs of the people in the desert, but still they often fell into sin. We know the story. Israel keep on failing. They complained against Moses or against God himself in a number of passages that I have listed there. It was a long journey and the people got tired of the manna. We said, oh, we've been eating this for so long, we are tired of it. They started complaining. And the people got tired. Numbers 21:4. The Lord sent snakes which made people get sick and die. When they repented, the Lord took away the snakes. He told Moses to make a metal snake out of bronze and put it on a pole. All those means had meanings. Why on the pole? Why is a metal? Why not aluminum? Why not steel? There are meanings to all of them. Put it on a pole. God promised that he would heal anyone who looked at the bronze snake. We know the story. We learned this at the Sunday school. Many believed God's promise and got well. Many years later, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the men that men would lift him up as Moses lifted up his bronze snake in the desert. John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So when he think and study about Moses lifting up the serpent, we know this, many of us sometimes make comments and messages on this. It always points us to Christ who did exactly the same. This meant that he would die on the cross because it's a piece of wood that this was put on. Many people watched the Lord as he was dying on the cross, but only those who had faith were saved. Many passed by as he was on the cross. Some believed, others made fun of him. Isn't that what happened even today? Only some believe, others make fun of him. Well, I'm almost to the last couple of slides here. We come to the book of Deuteronomy. Another prophet, Moses prophesied that the Lord would raise up another prophet like himself, a man of Israel, who would stand between God and the people. Moses was the one who stood between Israel and God until that time. Every time they sinned, Moses went to God and cried on their behalf and made solutions. He said, there is a prophet coming who will do the same between man and God. Who is that? Our Lord, he is the person who is between you and me today, our advocate on our behalf. The people of Israel were looking forward to the promised prophet. You know, they knew the prophecy was given by Moses. They were looking for that. They know there's a prophet coming. And then John the Baptist came. They came to, went to him and asked, "Are you that prophet?" He said, "No." They thought the Lord was himself that prophet until he was put to death and buried, and they got lost all the hopes on that. The true prophet, the fulfillment of that prophet that Moses prophesied, is our Lord Jesus Christ, who stood between man and God on our behalf. We have noticed that Moses was a picture of Christ, but in Deuteronomy we have this great promise which was fulfilled in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a very brief look at the book of Deuteronomy. That completes our study of the Pentateuch, five books. There is still 34 to go. I don't know when we will finish. I'm taking a break next week, perhaps for maybe a 3 week or so. Another study will come in between. I will pick it up after that. I don't know whether you enjoyed this study or not. It amazed me when I look at it through the New Old Testament. Once we get into the Psalms, it's an ocean. You will never finish if you go every psalm and particular verses that points to Christ. I hope this was a blessing, and hope it will encourage you and encourage you as it has been to me in this little study together. I'll be closing prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are such an amazing God. We are simply amazed of your thinking, your planning, your consideration of your creation, of the humanity, of me as an individual. You planned eternity back when the word of God was given to thy servants. You had your Son in your mind, which has been revealed to us to a certain extent in these studies. We pray that you may continue to speak to our hearts and have a greater appreciation about our Savior as we go through this. Bless our hearts, we pray, thy blessing upon thy people of God who are here as well as on those on the Zoom. Thy blessing may be upon them. Pray for the few classes of Sunday school for the children. Blessing may be upon them, for the teachers and the children. Various ministries that are coming up. We pray for the conference that is coming up. Pray for the vacation Bible school we are planning to in a few weeks. Oh Lord, pray, prepare the hearts of people of God in our chapel to serve faithfully in the days to come. And also bring many children, as you have done for a number of years in the past. We commit all of this. We remember many traveling, many who are sick. We pray, remember each one of them. Bring them to the throne of grace. Maybe your blessing and guidance and help and your strength may be upon of their portion. We commit us to the throne of grace. Thank you for hearing your prayers. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God from home, all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,